Welcome to Night Call, a production of iHeartRadio.
It's 3:02 a.m. in Bonnie Springs, Nevada, and you're listening to Night Call. Hello and welcome to Night Call, a podcast for your strange days and lonely nights. I'm Molly Lambert, and here with me in Los Angeles are
Emily Yoshida
and Tess Lynch. Hello.
And we will be joined later today by our very special guest, Kate Raft of Jack AM, and this podcast is Self Care, who will explain to us Visco Girls fall and what exactly happens in Bonnie Springs, Nevada, that you will never be able to forget.
Stay in suspense until then.
We wanted to start off with a little article from our favorite science website, Live Science.
No other science website.
No other science website.
The definitive source for all things science.
Source. All the science is true and real. So there was a story on Live Science that seemed very attuned to our interests.
Right.
It was about our conspiracy beliefs on the rise. What would you guys have said if I had asked you if conspiracy beliefs are on the rise?
I clearly thought yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, according to Live Science, conspiracy beliefs are not on the rise. They are at the same levels they have always been, which is about 10 to 20% of the population believes a bunch of conspiracies to be true. While it may be true that the internet has allowed people who believe in conspiracies to communicate more, it has not increased the number of Americans who believe in conspiracies, according to the data available. They say that only 9% of people believe in Pizzagate. 29% of people believe there's a deep state working against Donald Trump.
This does not make any sense to me. I'm sorry.
I know.
But anyway, continue.
At least 50% of Americans believe in one conspiracy theory, ranging from the idea that the 9/11 attacks were fake to the belief that former President Barack Obama was not born in the U.S. This also did freak me out, because then when it listed a bunch of conspiracies and how many people believe in them, one of them is straight up just like, oh, the Jewish conspiracy. And it's like,
right,
15 to 20% of people.
They did not include as many like progressive conspiracies.
Right.
This, well-known progressive conspiracy.
Right. Like, this claims that 11% of people strongly agree that Barack Obama was not really born in the United States. 13% of people agree. 24% of people say neither. And 38% strongly disagree.
Okay. That one is like one that gets passed around on Facebook. It's insane and stupid that it's like argued at all. And thanks to our president, like, that it was ever a thing. But the vapor trails, the chemtrails one, there's a grand total of 9% of people that were in this study who said that they believed in chemtrails, which is like, that just strikes me as
so wrong.
Incorrect.
Yeah, there's got to be more.
I think people believe in chemtrails?
No, I believe less people.
Oh, I think more people. Really?
Yeah, I think less people.
I've had so, because you know I have that thing where I like do talk to strangers way too much, and I feel like I've gotten in so many conversations about chemtrails.
Well, really? Here's one that I was like, is this a conspiracy or is this true? Which is, the current financial crisis was secretly orchestrated by a small group of Wall Street bankers to extend the power of the Federal Reserve and further their control of the world economy.
Sure. I mean, that sounds, yeah.
Like, is that a conspiracy? That seems like something.
Journalism.
They don't want us to talk about more than that. And one that I'd never heard before.
Oh, I'm excited. I know which one this is.
Was the U.S. government is mandating the switch to compact fluorescent light bulbs because such lights make people more obedient and easier
to control.
I've
heard this one.
When I saw that, I was like, I'm not going to say this is a conspiracy. That sounds to me somewhat reasonable. It was really weird. The, like, effect of those light bulbs is, you notice,
no,
they
I mean,
put you, like, it, they're unpleasant. There's something wrong with those light bulbs.
They make me less compliant. They make me
irritable.
Irritable. I remember when they changed them all over in that Gelson's, like, and I came on, like, New Year's Day, which was a terrible idea, and it was so bright, I left. I, like, walked in
and
walked out.
It was bright? Usually they're, like, not bright.
No, they're bright.
Do they do the warm tinted ones?
No.
Not
it's
at
like
Gelson's.
Bright.
The Warrington doesn't mean anything. Like, all it does, like, it doesn't change the flicker of the light at all, but it's still annoying.
A friend of ours also wanted, like, the brightest light available, and then he got it and was like, this was a terrible
what
idea.
Crazy person wanted the brightest light?
I will
light.
Leave their identity unknown till later.
I only go, I think the ideal wattage is, like, 45. I really like a dim light.
Yeah.
The really bright lights, but especially the fluorescent ones, because obviously, I mean, I use them because I don't want to be a dick, but I don't enjoy the effect. And I can feel, if you have fast vision, you can see them flickering.
I think it has an effect.
Yeah.
I just don't think it makes you more compliant. I think it's that makes you more irritable.
Well, now you're going to have to go deep on it because it's posed an interesting question.
So this says also that the review showed absolutely no change in the amount of conspiracy theory bleep over time. In fact, the percent of letters received, this is how they were doing the judging, about conspiracy theories actually declined from the late 1800s to the 1960s. Right when you would think it would start to spike with JFK assassination theories, right. It actually went down.
Letters received by the U.S. government, or who is receiving the letters?
Letters to the editor for the New York Times and the Chicago Tribune.
I don't know. It feels like a weird selection pool for this.
You would use Twitter. You'd just be like, who's
talking
about chemtrails?
Yeah, I also feel like if you truly believe that there's a conspiracy going on about chemtrails, and the New York Times is definitely in on it, so why would you?
Yeah. Well, wait, you guys don't believe in chemtrails, do you?
No.
Okay, just checking. Yeah. Just checking. No. I don't know.
For a minute, I listened and was like, huh. Well, this also. But then I was like, no.
I like that this suggests the idea that conspiracy theories are going up in popularity is itself a conspiracy theory, because they just list all these times, like starting in the 60s when papers were like, more conspiracies than ever before. The golden age of conspiracies.
Well, people thought that in like the 90s. That was like a big thing. Like,
they also thought it in the 80s and 70s.
But wait,
think.
But think about this. So one of the conspiracies that I think is true is that our phones are listening to us. I believe that, like, absolutely, if you polled people, probably upwards of 80% of people would agree. But then how can they say, like, there's no common quote-unquote conspiracy theories are really listed in this article. They're the more kind of like fringe things, which it would be reasonable to expect less people would believe because they have access to more information from the internet. Yeah. But what about when the conspiracy involves the internet, mm-hmm. and you have these companies who are like trying to dispel these rumors?
Well, there's two
rumors.
Types of conspiracies. There's like conspiracies that are actually false and are just like the dissemination of misinformation. And then there are conspiracies that are just like suppressed information.
Yeah.
Right.
What a great segue into today's topic, Oliver Stone's JFK, Emily's favorite stoner movie. Something.
When I was a stoner, way back.
I love that. That's like you were like, all right, let's put on the really fluorescent lights now.
Yeah. But the thing is, I mean, because that was my brief tenure as a stoner, which do you like less than a year of my life, I don't remember it at all.
It would be very difficult to remember even if you were not being a stoner.
Right.
Because it's like so noisy and so much going on.
And yet it really draws you in such that Tess and I both watched all 3 hours of in a one gulp because we had to keep going. Tess and I have both never seen this movie before.
I don't know why I haven't.
It's funny because, like, because it was a college thing for me, I consider it dorm room canon. But, like, it is one of these dorm room canon.
It's just
things.
You. I love it.
Yeah.
But
it's
Oliver
just me.
Stone is, like, every Oliver Stone movie is in the dorm room canon. The
that
Doors,
was just mine.
Natural Born Killers. That's the funniest one to be. To be your stoner movie. But it is very psychedelic also in its weird way. I definitely didn't know anything about this movie. I thought it was a biopic of JFK.
I had no idea what to expect. And I don't know. Like, it's a weird blind spot.
I thought it was
for
a biopic that like leads up to him dying because I knew about Back and to the Left from like The Simpsons. But I didn't know it was just about the conspiracy. I found this out from talking to my boyfriend's mom, mentioned something about the New Orleans aspect of the JFK assassination conspiracy. And I was like, what New Orleans aspect? She's from New Orleans.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And they were like, haven't you seen JFK? and I had not. So then I did. This movie is so New Orleans-y.
It's, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, even that. The things that are
it's
set,
very sweaty.
Yeah, it's a very. That's the thing. The sweat is like a huge.
The sweat
player.
Is real. Everything that anyone said about overacting, you can just attribute to like, no, it's like a corrupt guy in New Orleans.
Except
like that's
Tommy Lee Jones. It was like I couldn't hold it together with Tommy Lee Jones and his hair.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Joe Pesci's hair.
Joe Pesci.
And eyebrows.
Oh my God, and eyebrows.
It's a very funny movie. Sometimes intentionally, sometimes not so intentionally. I watched it this morning, which was like the strangest decision I'd ever made.
It's
it's so late.
That kind of movie in the morning, though. I feel like.
Because at night, it's like, what, are you going to start it like at 5?
Yeah.
Just to get through?
No. It's,
yeah. I almost started it last night at 10:30, and then I was like, but I'll just be so like, ugh, by the end of it.
Yeah.
So 9 a.m.
9 a.m.
Bright and early. Mug of coffee.
Yeah.
Ready to go.
I love a morning movie.
I sat down, and I was like, let's do this. But then the weirdest thing was that in the middle of the movie, I got the mail and I'd ordered some books, like some used books. And so there was an envelope, like a plain brown envelope. And on the back, it said book depository. And I was like, are you kidding me? Because that's like a huge plot point.
Yeah.
JFK brain, as we said last week, is the boomer Epstein brain.
Mm-hmm. It's so dense. It's hard. I feel like I had less, as you may know, if you listen to last week's episode with Chris Cantwell, I didn't know anything really. Like, I just knew the bare facts of the conspiracy theories and, you know, the assassination. It was something that was like.
No, I didn't know anything about the JFK conspiracy.
I never went down that particular road.
Yeah.
So I was kind of the prime target for JFK because I just believed it all.
Yeah.
It was like, of course, everything checks out completely.
Yeah, by the end, it really, you're like, oh, this argument is airtight. And then you look into it and it's not airtight, but the movie does a good job of convincing you.
It's the power of cinema.
Yes.
It's just a sick-ass movie,
and
also.
Sissy Spacek is fantastic. It's a the interiors of their apartment are beautiful. It has, like, some good emotional haps. But, like, really, it's just funny. And it's Oliver Stone, like, it may be the most, the cocainiest movie that he's done, which I would not have expected to say. But it's, like, at one point, there's also a speech in the courtroom that Jim Garrison, played by Kevin Costner, is giving. And I swear to God, it's like a 50-minute long monologue.
Right.
Well, that's a courtroom scene. That's
no, but it's so exaggerated.
But that courtroom scene, I do remember sometimes, like, what I would get to that scene and I would be like, okay, like, do I
time
need
to get some chips?
Do I need to get some chips? Do I need to go to the bathroom? Like, that would be like my pit stop.
At one point, he just starts doing this thing with his hands and he's kind of just like rehashing points you already know, and he's doing this thing with his hands. My husband was like, I think he's been doing that thing with his hands for like 15 minutes.
I think he did it in one take is what I read.
Oh.
And that he started crying at the end.
He does cry
and
at
that
the
was,
end.
They just were like, okay, we got to use this one. But he was like, he had become, so he had become intense.
Guys,
he had become a conspiracist.
Kevin Costner, yes or no?
You know, I had never thought yes before in my life. But he's great in this.
What are you
I
asking, yes or no?
Just yes or no. Do you agree or disagree?
I mean, I'm trying to think. What else did I see him in that I was like, he's good in this? Bull Durham, I guess.
Bull Durham is pretty good.
Yeah, but there's always something a little bland about him to me.
Yeah.
But he was great in this, I thought.
Do you guys like Waterworld?
He's apparently supposedly a huge stoner, which adds to the Emily watching JFK all making sense.
Yeah. I did not love Waterworld. Are you shocked?
I mean, I haven't watched that in a zillion years, but I feel like it would be a fun rewatch. I did watch it like quite a bit. I feel like after it came out, I feel like everybody always had it on VHS at like slumber parties.
I think Field of Dreams just did a lot of damage,
yes.
in my opinion. Of,
like
Field of Dreams
you can't
just
tell. You can't tell an Iowan you don't fuck with Field of Dreams.
I just hate movies about men and their fathers.
It's always a ghost dad in the basement.
Yeah.
That movie is so weird.
And like,
it's a very strange movie. I don't think it gets enough credit for how weird
like
it is.
Dances with Wolves.
I have never seen Dances with Wolves. I feel like it would be interesting to watch it.
I don't think
it's interesting to watch
it.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure.
For sure.
Well, it's like the original Last Samurai, which I watched recently for the first time, which is like, not
that's where Tom Cruise becomes a samurai.
Yeah. Yeah.
The best part about JFK.
What about the postman? We should watch the postman.
No, thank you. Seen it. Best part about JFK is John Candy.
John Candy. Oh, yeah.
Like calling everyone dude and daddy-o and eating crab.
Halfway through, Johnny and I at the same time were like, Mitch Hedberg.
Oh, totally.
The
way, yeah.
Like his cadence was so, and he was so good at playing like a, just a sleazy southern
with sunglasses
man
sweaty
about town. Yeah, apparently the sweat was all real because he was very nervous to do the scene.
Oh, you could tell. But also, I mean, like, everyone's sweat was
yeah
real.
I just thought it was a great New Orleans movie, which is obviously the last thing I expected JFK yeah to be about, because they, because my boyfriend's mom was like explaining the conspiracy about like, oh, like they set up this guy to make it look like this gay guy did it so that he would get killed. They
right
like made it seem like he was involved, but it was just part of like a New Orleans conspiracy involving money. But then there is like a New Orleans aspect that like a New Orleans mafioso guy is supposedly one of the guys who may have ordered the hit mm-hmm on JFK. Uh-huh. I mean, I think what makes it great, like Zodiac, is like you come away being like, I have no idea.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And I'm never going to be able to stop thinking about it.
Well, I think that's a nice thing about like these, you know, open case, you know, at least in the public imagination stories, is that like you're not watching it to get a resolution. So you have to find something else interesting to get at.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's about just like being an obsessive person, yes, which we can all relate to.
Yes.
Yeah. I just think it rules.
It was great. It's definitely the kind of thing that I don't think I would have enjoyed prior to this time. It
yeah
felt very
to,
relevant.
If I had
right
to watch
now
it in a class, I might have like skipped it on by. But just yeah yeah watching it for fun, it was really fun.
Oh, no. They definitely were not teaching this in any classes yeah when I was in film school.
And it does just sort of like, you know, yeah, it does make you be like, oh yes, like the government does
right
have a vested interest in like keeping people in the dark about right a lot of things for sure.
Right. I regret that I didn't watch it so I could talk about it with you guys.
Oh, that's
it,
okay.
It is so foggy for me. Like I remember really. I mean, I watched it because I liked it. It
yeah
wasn't
it's really
like
good
a weird compulsive thing. It was like I loved the feeling of watching JFK
it's
for
a
whatever
great
reason.
Yes. Well, also there are so many great scenes of people in darkened, like beautiful studies
yes
with the
yes
rain
yes
pouring down and. We're in the middle of a fire right
right
now.
Yeah.
So it was so nice, like at night, to be like,
yeah,
oh, imagine yeah a subtropical climate.
It's like a murder mystery. I think, you know, I opened a million tabs about the JFK assassination
mm-hmm
and all the conspiracies around it. And it seems like, and I learned also about May Babbage, I think is her name. Mm-hmm. I should look over her name. This
which
woman
one
who was the had a conspiracy radio show in LA in the 30s.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
who,
yeah.
Which I guess had a lot of Kennedy conspiracy stuff. It was mm-hmm one of the places where those people went to talk. And just when they show how they make the guy seem crazy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How they're like, we'll let him go on Carson and then we'll make him look like a nut. And that's how we'll like diffuse this situation. But it seems like a lot of the conspiracy had to do with the fact that the Zapruder film was so hard to see for so long.
Right. Right.
And I guess like by the time it's in JFK was like it had just been released so
mm-hmm
that you could just view it. But
yeah
it used to be like very hard to see because they didn't want people to see the president getting shot in
the
head.
Well, that's the whole weird part of the JFK thing is just like the government's refusal to release documents.
Right.
And you're like, but why? And I mean,
yeah
I think that's like the huge theme of the film is, you know, that the government treats you like a child.
Yes.
And that's like a really terrifying
like,
thing
know.
Yeah
and that's super and that's why I was watching and I was like, I'm glad I'm watching it now because it is something that's on people's mind a lot
yeah
of like what's the like where is the, how thick is the veil between
right
the government and the people
yeah.
And we talk about this level like yeah some things where you're like we've all accepted that our phones listen to us for a long time but when we were first telling people that a lot of people were like no they don't
yeah.
But it's also strange that Facebook and Instagram and everybody can continue to deny this when it's something observed by literally
because,
everyone
because if they deny it they don't have to take culpability they're just
yeah,
like
right
oh it's a mistake we
right
don't know. It's a glitch in the matrix.
I just like for something like that. Like, I mean, it's kind of easy to understand in a pre-internet era when everything in question is like a government agency or whatever. So there is protocol for classification and stuff like that. And I believe that you can hide something that big in that context and at that time. I do think like now in like the online era, it's shocking to me that like. if they, like, for example, if Instagram is listening to all of your conversations for the sake of advertising or whatever else, selling information, it's just like, how is that not out right now? That's like actually my only misgiving about like believing it. It's just like, it feels like it should be out there right now, or like it's undeniable.
People agree, just Instagram won't admit it. You
right,
know,
but the there should be like proof by now, or somebody would like, you know, go against the NDA or whatever. Like, people have broken so many NDAs already, like, in the last few years. Like, it's, like, the hot thing to do. Why doesn't somebody do... Somebody on Instagram needs to break that NDA.
Well, we saw what happened to the people who talked in JFK.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. Well, speaking of twisted tales.
Oh, God. Someone broke the night call agreement
Emily,
today.
I know. Emily is too twisted.
I
had to see Joker.
Too much of an edgelord.
I want to point out also that your husband pointed out that the Joker would not pay to see the Joker.
Exactly.
I know. Well, that's how not my... I'm not an edgelord, actually. I'm super normal. And no, it's... I went to go see Joker. That's why I didn't see JFK. I had to choose. I had to make a Sophie's choice of Joker or JFK.
But this is great because you can tell Molly and me about
it.
We
never have to
see
it
now. So
now
we're off the hook.
What do you guys want to know
about
it?
How was the film Joker?
It is the word that I can't... I'm trying to find a better word for it. But I do find... I found it to be pretty benign overall. And I think it's very interesting... to go and look now, because I was trying, I'm not reading that many reviews. I would see people's tweets about it or whatever from Venice or from TIFF. And there was a lot of hand-wringing, but it felt like hand-wringing about hand-wringing or something.
Yeah, it felt like
very meta. But I didn't really know what the fuss was particularly. And it's been very interesting to go back and read, and even just like going through Metacritic and that's right, Metacritic, not Rotten Tomatoes. Don't look at Rotten Tomatoes. It sucks. But at when you scroll down and you go to the bottom, like the lowest ratings, it's like there is a, I will say there's a generation of critic that freaked out about this movie. And it's
in what
like,
way?
Like that this is dangerous, that this is incendiary, that this is like going to, you know, everybody's going to like shoot up a theater or something because of this movie.
The A.O. Scott review was pretty much what you were saying, where he was I have no idea why this is being treated as
there's
it is.
So there's so much... I will just say that like a more dangerous movie for me, if you even just want to talk about like contemporary comic book bro canon, is The Dark Knight. Mm-hmm. Like The Dark Knight is more...
Well, I hated those movies because they were like libertarian fantasy.
Right. Well, but even if you're just looking at the Joker in that movie, if you're looking at the Joker as like an idol for a certain kind of like edgelord boy online, he's so much more dangerous as like a romantic figure, which is also kind of why I like that. I do like The Dark Knight. I'm sorry. Not because I think like I'm into state surveillance and stuff like that.
No, but like
because...
he hates Batman. I hate Batman.
Right, right. And there's something like... And he's truly nihilistic in that movie, like, and that's actually the scariest.
And actually, the Tim Burton Joker rules. Also,
rules
the Jack Nicholson Joker. I'd never seen that one before, like not until not that long ago. And I totally was like, "Oh, this is great!
It's great. That movie's great."
Because he's like an artist, like he's an art collector. It's feels
he's like a gangster.
And
I don't know. I mean, that was just kind of like. Silly and fun, I guess. I mean, the thing about this Joker movie, well, okay, first of all, Joaquin Phoenix is like very good in it. I really like his performance in it.
Does this feed into Durga Chibo's theory that every Joaquin Phoenix performance is a method for the next Joaquin Phoenix performance?
Well, I was forgetting, but I remembered while I was watching it that, because I was like, what was his last movie? It wasn't the Lynn Ramsey movie, was it? But no. He was in, did I talk about this on the podcast? He was in this barely released movie about Mary Magdalene with Rooney Mara.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is, I wrote about it with Rachel Handler.
That's where they met.
Yeah, I think so. Which is like, it's like
Jesus to Joker.
But it's so weird to think about that performance in context. Because that actually weirdly feels it felt like preparation for this one.
Well, he's one of those actors, too, it feels like, who likes to put himself on the cross over and over again.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you know? And, like, make his body all fucked up and stuff. I mean, his body is, he has a very, like, J-horror body in this.
Because he just lost so much weight.
He lost a ton of weight, and there's, like, something weird with his shoulder blades. Like, I don't know.
Like, double-jointed-y.
Kind of popping out, yeah.
So, what I've heard is this movie has, like, really incoherent politics.
Yeah, it doesn't have any, this is the reason I say it's benign. It's like, I remember watching, like, shortly after the election, like, Rogue One came out, the Star Wars movie, which is, like, full of all this language about, like, resisting and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, man, like, the Star Wars fans who are, like, fascists or whatever are gonna, like, hate this movie, like, good. And then they all loved it. And I was like, oh, this is, like, my first lesson, like, if you make a movie vague enough, which all big tentpole movies are, anybody will see their politics in it. And so I think the thing that was, like, actually kind of annoying to me about this movie, which is not a very good movie, like, it's not, it's, like, very superficial and kind of empty, but like, I don't understand why people on the left particularly are, like, rolling over and letting the right have it, or, like, letting like,
why aren't we trying to, like, get the leftist Joker?
Right, because it's, like, it's about, like, he gets his social services cut off, and then, like, basically there's, like, an Antifa protest for, like, Bruce Wayne's dad is basically Donald Trump in the movie.
Right, I mean, like, I've heard that also. I've heard the movie is actually more about, like, fuck up the rich people that are ruining everything.
Kill the Rich is the rallying cry of the movie.
I think the problem is that Todd Phillips went on that horrible press tour, I think it was like those goddamn leftists.
And,
it was like laying out a buffet of things that you knew about the movie before seeing the movie, of the Todd Phillips connection.
Yeah, I think the things that offend me about it are, like, Todd Phillips making a prestige movie in any way and thinking that
winning
is, like,
Venice, like, me now.
As
oh
I will
my
keep
God.
Pointing out, the last movie also won Venice, the Dennis Hopper movie that ruined his career because it's really unwatchable.
Yeah.
So I think it's like, they did it for publicity, probably, also to be like, and also European people love stupid American bullshit.
Right.
Sometimes.
Well, look, at a remove, you might be able to not enjoy the aspects that some Americans found threatening, but at a remove, it might seem more insightful than it does to us.
I think it's also like the Scorsese versus Marvel discourse is so inane, because it's like there are things besides both of those things,
but he, like, exec produced this,
right?
Like, I just, like,
well,
and
he's
I,
a DC fan, that's what's so funny, that was hilarious. Him being like,
but
oh,
I think somebody,
fuck Marvel, like, some, DC,
some reviews posited that he exec produced it just to avoid a lawsuit for plagiarism,
for sure, because that I think is also, that's the really offensive thing to me.
It's just like whitewashed version of Taxi Driver, King of Comedy.
Right, and to, like, gesture at, like, those Paul Schrader movies.
How
King
good
of
is
Comedy.
King of Comedy?
It's so
just,
good.
Just
yeah, it's
wait,
good. Taxi
how good
Driver.
Is it?
And I will say also, Taxi Driver's politics are also sort of incoherent and druggy, you know, but at least they are aware of being incoherent.
Well, and, like, somebody else's review was like, at least also Taxi Driver, like acknowledge that this guy was a fucking racist too,
right? But
which they would never acknowledge in this version of that edgy movie.
Was it there though? Like,
no, it's like not. It's like so, like, there is a racial thing going on in the movie, but it's totally incoherent.
Because it's set in, like, 70s or 80s New
81,
York.
1981.
And I heard it's like, it's one of these movies that's like, we're post-racial. But it's like, makes no sense
for it to be
post-racial, because that's not a thing, clearly.
And also not in this made-up time period in a made-up city that is clearly just New York.
Right.
Like, there's, like, references apparently to, like, the Central Park vibe and stuff, which I think I missed because I came onto the movie late.
Right. And also, just, you probably spend as much time as Todd Phillips knows about the Central Park Five.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
To gesture to those things without having any actual, like, analysis or point is so fucking stupid.
Yeah. I don't know. It was the thing. I think the thing that annoys me most of all is just like the publicity around it. I think I was really convinced by the end of this movie that, like, it only existed in the kind of, I don't know, like, hyperventilating context that it created for itself.
The media echo chamber.
Yeah, it didn't.
Echo chamber.
Because it's like the dome, the biodome. Yeah.
Echo dome.
Yeah, like, it was like, oh, I think that most of what people are fighting about, and this is why I wanted to see the movie.
Right.
It's like, you can fight about what it, like, is, in quotes, without seeing it forever and, like, never actually get at what actually goes on in that movie. And I think that's also interesting, but that's not, like, watching a movie.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So I wanted to see it for free. That's my problem.
Like, you want to know how much I paid to see this movie? Because I had to see it at a certain time. So I had to see it on 35 millimeter. Which, of course, they're showing it at 35
millimeter. That is fucking twisted that you had to see Joker on 35 yeah. millimeter to punish you for liking 35 millimeter.
It actually, I mean, it looks
smoke them
nice.
All, kid.
Yeah, it cost $19.50 to see it on 35.
That's
at 11:45 in the morning.
See, that is what is truly twisted.
It's very twisted. Anyway.
What was the best part?
The best part is the talk show thing at the end.
It's just King of Comedy.
Yeah, it's just King of Comedy, but
all right, Night Call.
No,
reboot.
No, I want to know.
No, no, you're right.
And what was the best? So was his performance on the Joaquin Phoenix global scale?
Yeah, and also there's it's sort of dumb. There's a kind of very Fight Call light or Fight Club light.
Fight Club.
Don't give it
Wait
away. Don't tell everybody what we do after the podcast.
Oh my God. No, there's a Fight Club light sort of subplot that runs through involving Zazie Beetz's character that when it was revealed, because I was really upset with what was going on with mm-hmm. her character. And then when... Oh, whatever. I'll spoil this movie. I don't give a shit.
Spoiler
Joker
alert.
Spoiler alert.
So, it's the... He has a crush on his neighbor, played by Zazie Beetz, and then they strike up a relationship, and it's insane because he's so weird and off-putting.
Right.
It's like,
what is she thinking? What is she doing?
And the exchanges are non-existent. I was like, this is the worst movie girlfriend I've ever seen in my entire life. And then it's revealed that she it was an entirely imagined relationship, and she wasn't there the whole time.
Oh God!
But I will say, when that was revealed, I was like, oh, okay. That I kind of appreciate
because you couldn't have reconciled it really happening.
But I appreciate it because I think that all it was interesting to then think of all superhero movie girlfriends being imaginary.
I think all movie girlfriends might be imaginary.
Yeah, but it was just because they do the cutback where they're all these scenes that you thought she was there and she's not there, and I was like, what if that was every single Batman movie with Maggie Gyllenhaal wasn't there? I don't know.
Well, she wasn't there after that other movie.
Nope. They disappeared.
Wasn't
her.
She Katie Holmes originally?
She was Katie Holmes first, and then she was Maggie.
That was such a weird... That was
so
weird. Hey, women are literally replaceable to us.
Yeah. Just totally
Katie
interchangeable.
Holmes and Maggie Gyllenhaal, they look exactly alike.
Brunettes.
Right?
Yeah. Brunettes.
You won't notice the difference in acting abilities between these two people.
Oh, my God. Wow. So I'm glad I could see that for you guys so you don't have to.
Thank you so much for reporting.
Jokers are not wild. Jokers are not that wild.
Benign.
Jokers are boring.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
They're fine. Okay. Now that we've cleansed ourselves of that, we can get into fall now.
We're going to have a very special guest today to join us to talk about fall.
It's fall.
It's fall.
That's a quotation from our special guest.
Yeah. And so after the break, we'll be back with our guest, Kate Raft.
The author of It's Fall, a scene about fall. Welcome back to Night Call. We are here today with our very special guest, Kate Raft. Kate is on my favorite podcast, Jack AM, and my other favorite podcast, This Podcast is Self-Care, with Drew Spears. Welcome to Night Call, Kate.
Wow. Hey. Thank you so much for having me. Wow, this is a big deal for me. I'm a big fan.
That this was a live stream or any kind of video, because Kate looks incredible today.
Thank
I just want to
so
like
much.
Maybe describe it like kind of like descriptive visual services. She's got a yellow Dick Tracy hat, a yellow Dick Tracy blazer, canteen.
Yellow manicure.
I didn't even notice the manicure.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit. And then offsetting it with a good little yellow and green tie-dye shirt. and like flawless red lipstick. It looks amazing.
Yeah.
Like the colors are just like
I'll take a picture when you're not backlit.
Kate invented the color yellow. It's one of her claims to fame.
I did invent yellow.
I love yellow. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I wore a yellow wedding dress. Service. I don't know if you know this.
You wore a wedding yellow wedding dress?
I know it's that mind-blowing.
That's so radical.
No, I was, because I love yellow.
Yellow is a great color. Like,
it is.
You've also pioneered the idea that wearing a color can be a whole personality.
Absolutely. And it's something that I didn't invent that concept, but, you know.
And
I
sometimes think you have a partner, Joan Haley Ford, who we also love, who goes as red.
Yeah, she wears red. We have a sketch duo called Red and Yellow, and we both just wear red and yellow. And to us, that's funny. That's comedy.
That's the whole joke.
It's a ketchup and mustard thing, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a strong, powerful energy.
It is.
Yeah.
We wanted to talk a little bit about your commitment to the season that it is right now. It's now October.
Yeah.
That means it's officially, inarguably, fall.
It's so fall right now.
It's fall.
Does it feel like fall? What fall activities is everybody doing?
Well,
moisturizing.
Moisturizing. I bought some little pumpkins. I was inspired by Kate's fall haul from Target.
I've had a couple fall hauls. I did a Trader Joe's fall haul too, and it's been great.
The Trader Joe's goes really hard on fall.
Oh, yeah.
They go so hard, and it works on me. It works on me every time.
Kate and I, I've come to this realization, which is that a lot of the people I know who are really into fall, including me and Kate and also Miles Gray from the Daily Zeitgeist, we're all from California and we have no experience of fall is what I realized.
Wow, is that it?
Yes, because I like, so every year, I follow these Instagrammers every year that are the fall Instagrammers, and they start in like July.
Yes.
They start in summer being like, oh, I hate summer. I can't wait for fall. You know, who's ready for fall and hates summer? And that's me. And then it like amps up and gets more and more crazy leading up until October when it's like at its height. I would feel like September might be the height because people are the most like pre-excited for
There's
fall.
So much fall like ahead of you in September. Yeah,
that's true.
And then right on Halloween, like they go to Christmas and then I always unfollow them.
I hate
Wait,
that.
Wait, so these are not, that. These are just kind of blanket holiday Instagrams. They're not just dedicated to fall, or did the fall Instagrams have no choice
but
to start?
The fall Instagrams tend to go to winter. There's very few people that are diehard, like it's still fall even after Halloween people. Right. A lot of them are just like, okay, now it's Christmas. And last year, I was so depressed.
What about
fall?
November?
Yeah. Oh, Thanksgiving sucks. Last year, I was so depressed that
I... You're a very fair weather fan of fall.
It's true. No, you can't. No. You can't say Thanksgiving sucks if you like fall. I don't think that's
I don't know.
I disagree.
I support Molly in hating Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate Thanksgiving. Don't get me wrong.
I mean, you can like Thanksgiving aesthetic without liking Thanksgiving the holiday.
Also,
Thanksgiving's a very strange holiday. And I don't know if I feel like I have said this on the podcast before, but this is the first year I'm not making a turkey.
Yeah, good
in
for you.
Almost 15 years.
Wow.
Every year I make a turkey. Every year I'm like, I hate turkey. I hate making the turkey. I hate buying the turkey. This year I'm freeing myself and I'm going to see if it makes me like Thanksgiving.
Are you doing something alternative?
Hell yes. I'm doing Cornish game hens.
Oh, yeah.
Which
Hell
are,
yeah.
if you think about it, the opposite of a turkey. The turkey is like this huge bird and you're like, I'm going to flip this around and have a teeny tiny food.
I did love Thanksgiving growing up because we did like a West Coast Thanksgiving that
West Coast Thanksgiving is incredible.
With like family friends, you know, who like showed us horror movies and showgirls for the first time. It was like we didn't have to like travel and go see all your family or anything.
Never travel for Thanksgiving.
So
do you travel now for Thanksgiving?
No, I don't. But I don't really do anything now. I'm just like I'm not as into it.
Yeah.
I don't like the pressure to like have a turkey and all that
Can you guys convince me to like fall? Because I don't currently like fall.
So
it's so important. Fall is so, we've never needed fall more than we needed.
So having realized that all the people that are really into fall are California and like Texas people, because a lot of the memers would reveal themselves at some point and be like, here I am in Arizona where I live. And I was like, of course, none of us live in places that have fall. We're all just like, nostalgic for a thing we feel like we should have participated in.
Fall.
It is.
Oh shit. Oh shit, the Midwest and New England are here to fight us. No, because I do think that's part of it too. I think to be really into fall, you have to have limited knowledge of winter. Like real winter. Because when I did live in New England, when I was in college, I was like, okay, fall is as amazing as I thought it was going to be. Like, real fall is fucking incredible.
Yeah.
But fall is gorgeous.
The it's incredible also is that sort of like undertow of dread of like, soon it will be too cold to leave my house, which
it's awful.
Doesn't happen here.
Right.
What we're talking about that we think of as fall is really like the season of winter here.
Yeah.
And right. During the season of fall, it is really fire season, and right. There's a huge fire.
This is why I
today.
Hate fall. Yeah, there's a horror, you can smell it in the air. But also, I tend to think of like seasons as days of the week, but there are also many days of the week missing from seasons, obviously, because of math.
This works amazingly.
It does. But fall is Sunday. Fall is like a Sunday afternoon when you're like, shit, it's going to happen again.
That's okay.
It's
going to
be like short. And then winter is Monday, obviously.
Monday through Wednesday, I would say.
Wow, I
Wednesday
love
is spring
this.
To
this is
me.
Pretty good.
Wednesday is spring because you're like new. Almost there. And then obviously Friday, Saturday is summer.
Oh, no. That is only if you like summer.
Which I do.
Which is the best.
Because it's the best. Because it's the only time.
It's the most fun season.
It's the most fun season. On the East Coast, in the Midwest. Like,
no, totally no.
Disagree. I think summer is canceled.
Summer?
I think
no.
Because we have global warming. Okay, summer is canceled. Summer is going to be hotter and hotter and hotter.
Yeah,
we need
when
fall.
Is it fun to be that hot? Like, I do also think, because I want to say, like, I also do not buy into the, like, the only real weather is snow. You know, LA doesn't have real weather. We just have a different,
it's different
type of weather.
And winter here is rainy, which I love.
For me, it's like the best day is when it's like not 110 degrees anymore. That to me is like,
but it's dark early.
I love that.
Oh, I hate it.
Yeah.
Oh,
the dark
it makes
early
me so
here,
sad.
I'm dreading just that now. That's the only part of winter that I'm dreading now that I'm back in California, is like just the early daytime
savings. Tess, you were just talking about how much you love vampire bats.
I love vampire bats. And I dressed goth today. Like, I embraced the dark
you
side.
You do love a fall.
But I think of fall as, like, the dread part of it isn't a fun dread. But that's also because, you know, back east, it's like, it's beautiful, but it's really brief.
Right, but that's what makes it also really amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think that we need to spiritually extend fall. Like, it needs to start
that's
earlier in our minds and end later. Like, I think fall should be maybe mid to early August all the way through Christmas Eve.
Totally agree.
Christmas Eve.
Yeah,
whoa.
I think, like, let's drag it as far down as we can.
I agree with her because also spring supposedly starts way too early and it's generally, like, still winter for so much longer.
Well, this year in LA, it was, like, freezing cold until July.
It was awesome.
Not freezing cold.
I loved
it. But it was chilly.
Yeah, it was chilly.
Well, it's still technically fall until December 21st.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's basically Christmas Eve.
Yeah. So I think you get, I'd like to shorten the Christmas season to like 2 days. I think it should be Christmas Eve and Christmas.
I agree.
Yeah. I'm fine with that.
It can go back to fall even on the 26th. That's fine.
Wait, fall the domain of, because I was thinking about, like, I know you've been following these fall accounts for a while, Molly. Is that the domain of what we would refer to as a VSCO girl?
Wow, great segue, Emily.
Wow, yeah, nice
I
one.
I think so Kate's going to be the one who will know.
I mean, I'm totally unclear on this.
I mean, in general, like, VSCO girls do love fall. I think they love fall. The only problem is the classic VSCO girl ensemble is like a big shirt with tiny shorts that you're not meant to see.
Oh, I think the kids call that, is it called lampshading?
Yeah, I think that is what it's called.
Wait, can you explain, just because I only found out what these different types of girls were yesterday.
Okay, yeah. So
now that we
only
know what lampshading is.
No, I heard about that first because of Ariana Grande, because Ariana Grande does the lampshading with sweatshirts.
She's a big lampshader.
Yeah.
So,
Who are all the girls?
There's only three kinds of girls.
Okay.
According to a BuzzFeed quiz that some of us took.
Oh, yeah. We all have to take the quiz, right?
I'm the fourth type, which is a normal girl.
Yes.
Very offended to
but
be.
But the other three types, the VSCO girl, e-girl, and
Insta-baddie.
Insta-baddie.
Batty or baddie?
Batty. You're an Insta-baddie.
You're an Insta-baddie. Yeah.
Instagram baddie, I'm assuming, is like a Kylie.
Yeah, that makes sense.
E-girl. Can you describe more what that would be?
Well, it's like contour makeup, like
highlighting,
sexy.
Like a makeup tutorial. Like, VSCO girl is like no makeup, and like Instagram baddie would be like full beat.
And this is all kind of in the realm of Instagram? Or does it, like, I think, is it a TikTok thing?
Yeah, I think it's an Instagram and TikTok thing. Okay. Maybe, I don't know, I think Instagram is, like, real life and, like, TikTok is, like, your performative life. Actually, they're both, I don't know, the internet is everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no,
subcultures without that don't right. start on the internet now.
Right. Yeah. But wait, so then what's an ego? So if a VSCO girl is kind of like a Caroline Calloway, is that the like aesthetic?
Is it a little basic?
I would say it's like more Emma Chamberlain.
Okay. Okay.
I just learned who that is from Caroline Calloway.
Who's Emma Chamberlain?
I went on that journey too.
Yeah. Is she an influencer?
She's like a. She's kind of the, I think she's the classic VSCO influencer.
Really?
Yeah.
She's very, like, unusual looking.
I could be wrong about this.
She kind of looks, like, insect-y. Like,
she's kind of alien-ish.
Yeah, she kind of looks like an alien.
Like a hot alien.
Oh, that's that's what a VSCO girl looks like.
Wait, really?
I think Caroline Calloway is actually too old.
To be an influencer?
To be a VSCO girl, specifically.
Well, we're like, not judging anyone for what age they might think they're a VSCO girl at here at Night Call.
I guess that's true. I guess she's, maybe you're right.
Is there a VSCO woman?
Wait, so
I consider myself a VSCO woman. I'm a VSCO adult, yeah.
Wait, so I'm looking at Emma Chamberlain's Instagram right now, but like this look is what I would consider like an Insta-baddie look.
Maybe I'm wrong on this.
I would consider it e-girl, actually, because she's dressing like Cher Horowitz.
Wait, but you didn't say what the e-girl is.
Okay, e-girl is like, it feels to me it's like the cosplay of the 90s, sort of.
It's like a Hailey Baldwin?
Yeah.
The one thing that, I feel like it's very like, Asian beauty tutorial aesthetic, like a lot of like the pink blush that was at the end, and like different colored hair and stuff like that,
like Billie Eilish hair kind
of. Okay. Billie Eilish is an e-girl.
Yes. She's for sure an e-girl.
Yeah, so that's the one that I got, but obviously I'm such an e-girl.
And I was saying that I claimed VSCO girlness because I was like, that's how I've been dressing my whole life. I can't believe that is cool now, is to wear.
You've always been ahead of the curve, Molly.
But I just
trendsetter.
I'm into everyone wearing a big tie-dye t-shirt, and that's fashion now. I'm fashionable now.
I think that VSCO girls are like probably like the Gen Z people that like millennials the most, or like they're like closest to millennials. They're
to
like,
me, it just feels like the Instagram baddie bubble bursting, because it's like all of a sudden girls are like no makeup, like lip gloss,
and
like casual, like the way that we all did kind of dress in the 90s, where it wasn't like styled for Instagram.
Right.
You know, it's like more about comfort and like kind of like skater girl-y. It's very California-y also. Yeah.
Well, then I need like a better example of what this is, because I don't think it's Emma Chamberlain, because she's like very made up and like wearing like looks.
All three types of girls were on full display last night at the Lana Del Rey concert that Emily and I both went to.
My favorite look there was like three girls who are all wearing like the same fresh from Zara like fake leather jackets, and we're all like dressed in black. It was just like the mall goth look, basically.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
There were a lot of posses, and also they were very wisely selling LED flower crowns, which people were wearing.
It was a good look.
But yeah, I was like, oh yeah, those are the only types of girls now. And then I was trying to think, because I was like, where does goth fall? And I was like, oh, there's a goth version of each of these things.
I think you're right.
Yeah. There's like gothy girls, goth instabaddies, and
could there be a goth VSCO?
Yeah, I think you might be it right now.
Oh, yeah, goth VSCO, yeah. Goth VSCO is real. It's real.
I'm confused as to how VSCO is a part of the VSCO girl, because I use VSCO a lot for my photos, and I didn't realize that there was like an aesthetic and like a girl assigned to it.
I mean, yeah, there is. I don't know. I think it's like because... I don't know. I think
they have
like,
the best filters. Is the thing. Does that make me a VSCO girl? Because I think they have the best filters.
I think it makes you like.
Kind of does.
I think it makes you just like a wise human.
Yeah, I think it makes you.
Because they do have the best. I paid the money for the app. I was like shocked that it was like $30.
Oh, it's I still $30? Use the free one, but I still like the free.
I think filter. It means
did
you're...
I get like scammed into you paying for like a premium
I
VSCO?
Thought there, I have the free one. Yeah. Kicking around.
I didn't
somewhere.
Even
wait,
know
you
it was
all have
free.
VSCO. I don't have VSCO.
I don't use. It made me feel intimidated.
I'm the least VSCO girl of all. I don't even have VSCO.
I love VSCO because you can add film grain to.
Oh my god, you're such a dork.
Wow.
Sometimes it just makes it's like nice to have some texture.
Oh,
on
I want to shoot my Instagram photos on 35.
Listen. I'm an auteur. Yeah. I don't know if you guys know.
I want to go back to like shooting it on a flip phone where it's all pixelated and grainy. Oh my God. Making that the aesthetic.
That would be great.
Kate, what are your favorite fall activities?
I love watching horror movies.
Yeah, me too.
I love drinking like a pumpkin beer. I love carving a pumpkin. I just made a pumpkin pie. Well, I didn't. I watched my husband make a pumpkin pie.
Oh, I watched
pie.
You and
from
your,
scratch
I watched
or from
your
camp?
Husband make a pumpkin pie. Yeah. Also,
a lot of people watched it on
they
Twitch.
Live streamed it. Yeah, one of my favorite things you guys do is that in addition to doing a daily morning show on Twitch, you also have like live streams of activities, and one of them is cooking.
I love that.
Yeah, we do a very cleverly named show called Jack's Cooking Kitchen, where my husband Jack just like learns to cook something, and my friend Lindsay Miller, who's like a professional pastry chef, she does like apocalypse themed baked goods called All Gonna Pie, and she like has a whole recipe blog.
Wait,
and it's really funny.
Did you guys by any chance see, this may be old, but I just saw it the other day, the pot pies with the human faces?
Oh,
what?
No, but it can't.
Oh. That sounds amazing.
You sent it to me because I was tweeting about how I made a pie that kind of had a human face.
Wow.
It's really intense. I guess that they originally did them with latex masks and then they made them edible and they did edible hair,
horrible. I have a friend who does. She made some like horror pastries for parties that I like couldn't eat because they were too crazy.
It just looked too scary.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Like a face pie where I was like, no, I don't want to touch it. I did make a pie that had like a Slipknot mask crust.
Did you eat it yet?
No, but it turned out great.
Wait, Molly, you made this pie like days ago. You haven't eaten your pie?
I made it 2 days ago. I'm going to eat it today.
Okay.
Why haven't you eaten it yet? Why did you make it?
It's very strange.
I was stressed out.
But then I feel like eating the pie would be like the best part of like the stress relief aspect.
Do you ever just do something and then by the time you're finished, you're like, I don't know, now it's midnight.
Yeah, you're done.
Yeah.
I do. But not with food, I will say.
Yeah. Yesterday we were going to the concert. There was no time. I'm going to go eat it when I get home.
Eat your pie.
Maybe I'll live stream it.
I feel like I have to be in the right mood to eat a pie. Like it has to, I can't just eat it. I don't love pie. Like I don't hate pie, but just has to strike me at the right time.
I totally agree. I'm not a sweets person either, but the pie, it's like you really have to be in the right mood for pie.
Yeah,
but
pumpkin's
better for me. It's like more appealing
as
like a breakfast.
Well, it's a vegetable.
But you know what's weird is, remember how they revealed that there's no pumpkin in canned pumpkin? It's like a different variety
of
squash.
That.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Really?
Well,
I like to make mine from the pumpkin, though.
Those are too wet and fibrous for me.
Oh, no. I make a vegan pumpkin pie with the whole pumpkin. And usually I play around with it, but a lot of times I just do a silken tofu one, which is actually pretty great. And so then you have like the real pumpkininess. And it doesn't give me.
What was the pie, the pumpkin pie you guys made today? It also looked really good.
What was in it?
Yeah.
It was just like a pumpkin and a ton of butter and sugar and like
you didn't
spices.
Use the condensed milk?
I don't remember.
She
I wasn't
in charge.
Fully in this. I was like dipping in and out. It was like my best friend Lindsay and my husband made it together. And it was a great combo. It was great.
And Molly watched at home.
And I watched at home, but it was live in front of my eyes.
What other fall activities?
I mean, I love like a haunted hayride situation. I haven't gone in a couple years because I heard it got kind of bad, the LA one. But
the Griffith Park one?
The Griffith Park
one. I've never gone, and I would like to.
I heard it was too scary for kids.
It is too scary for kids.
It's by a mile.
Like, the best, like, one of those I ever went to, and it's closed now, but my best friend Kate lives in Vegas, and there's this place called Bonnie Springs, which is, like, 45 minutes outside of Vegas. There's nothing around. It's so scary. It's, like, pitch black the whole drive. And they turn, it's like a, I don't know, it's like a pig farm or something that they turn into this thing called Bonnie Screams, and it's like so low budget, but that makes it so much scarier. And just the fact that it's like in Nevada is scary.
It's like, and what are the laws here?
And and they like they make you go into the mazes like by yourself, like, or you're just with your group, like you're not like following people.
No.
And they like, they don't tell you how to get out. There's not like regulations. I don't know if it's legal even what they were doing.
Too
but like
spooky. It's like an outdoor giant escape room.
Yeah, there's like no exit signs. Like people just come right up to you and like there's no way to get around. Like, it's just very scary. And like,
that sounds crazy.
It was so good though. It was that was the best one I ever went to.
That sounds terrifying.
I don't like to be that scared. Emily, I think, is the only one in our group that really likes to go get scared.
Well, I did a thing at Grantland, like, where I tried all the different haunts and tried to find one that would actually scare me.
But you went alone also.
I went alone to all of them. I think, like, I mean, there's a big difference between being jump scared, which is like pretty easy to do, just like sneak up on somebody and go,
that's just being startled.
Yeah, that's just being startled. It's not being scared. It's not like really genuinely having something get under your skin and feeling freaked out and spooky. I want to go to more stuff like that. I feel like stuff now either goes like all the way to the shock value end of things, or it's just like, or like the black. I've never been on in a blackout before, but like that's where, you know, it's like torture chambers and stuff like that.
What's
like
a blackout?
It's like Edgelord haunted house. It's like
it's pitch black inside.
No, it's like there are like horrific scenes of like torture and like murder, and so it's like not cute.
It's like a hell house.
Yeah, it's
that
like
sounds great. Actually.
It's like can you handle it? And like there's a safe word and stuff, and it's like full body contact. Too.
Oh, I did one of those in New York when I was in college, and they could like touch you, and it was like fucked up.
You have to sign a waiver.
They like tickle
no,
you and like
no.
I don't know. It was, but I loved it, but I did like get diarrhea from being so scared.
The scariest thing I've ever done wasn't a haunted house, but it was this thing in the Exploratorium that they built in the 70s, and it's called like the Feelarium.
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
It's so 70s. It's like you have to get a ticket to it. I don't know if they still. And I think like a Coppola designed it.
Oh,
it's
wow.
like the most
That's
70,
amazing.
70s San Francisco thing. I don't think they have it
that
anymore.
Just sounds like a lawsuit.
Is it supposed to be scary, or is it just.
It's a pitch black geodesic dome obstacle course that you have to feel your way through.
Wow. Fuck that. No.
And
that sounds great.
I did it with my boyfriend at the time, and I was like immediately so scared that I just grabbed onto him and just like forced him to like find the way the whole time.
They have a dark maze, or they had a dark maze at the Haunted Hayride, which was the scariest thing there, I thought, the L.A. Haunted Hayride. I don't know if they still do it, but they would have people. They can't touch you in that still. It's not a full body contact one, but you are like in pitch black finding your way through a maze, and you can hear like spooky people around you.
My God.
It's very scary.
That sounds so scary. I love to be scared, but I like do scream like way too much, and it, like, it's very off-putting. It's like I see a lot of horror movies during like this season too, like in theaters, and I just like make everyone's embarrassed around me. I just scream like really loud in movie theaters, and it freaks people out.
That's what you want in a horror movie.
But I can't help it.
And that's what you want in an audience.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I celebrate myself
by screaming in the movie theater.
I celebrate my screams. I mean, I can't change that about me, so I have no choice but to embrace it.
Yeah. Is there a horror movie that you're looking forward to, or that you thought was really good so far this year?
I'm really excited about Countdown. It looks like a shitty teen horror movie. Those are the best ones.
Countdown.
It's like one where the teens like find out when they're gonna die, and then one girl is like, "I'm gonna die in 3 hours," and then like the teens have to like escape death.
When does this come out?
I have no idea,
we will find out and put that in the show
the
notes.
The countdown begins.
I keep getting the Instagram ads for it, so I know that it's the right film for me.
Right. It's like targeting your demo.
So my friends and I like to go see like shitty teen ones.
I want to see Parasite.
I'm seeing that.
It's really good.
Yeah, yeah. I'm so excited.
I want to see that.
Yeah, I feel like my favorite horror movies are like just the unsettling ones.
Yeah.
I don't love a ton of torture and gore.
No.
I like slashers. We've talked about this before.
I like gross movies. I like disgusting movies. Like I like Alien. I like John Carpenter.
I love it.
That's really great. Yeah.
We all love Alien.
Yeah. And like I don't know, like I think a lot of the Purge movies kinda count in that vein too, because sometimes there's just something like so gonzo violent in it that you're, it's just like, ah, like
the purge is also like too real now, because we were like joking last week about Donald Trump signing the purge into law. That was Gabe Delhaize's joke. And we were all like, it's too real.
It is.
And the thing with the PG&E blackouts in the Bay Area, where like the explanation is that it's like PG&E is bankrupt, so they didn't do any of the tree trimming and like maintenance they needed to do. And so their solution was to like shut off the power to all these places. But then also people found these photos of like they just had their company retreat at a vineyard in Napa.
Oh my God.
The purge is like too on point sometimes. Yeah.
I appreciate it. it feels exactly like the right level of like social commentary that should be in a horror, like with the exact right level of seriousness that should be in a horror movie.
Tess has my favorite non-horror fall tradition.
Which is what?
Watching The Sopranos.
Oh, every year around. But that's also, that's Thanksgiving, which now I know doesn't count as fall. No, it does.
No, but it does. And also, that's a better November tradition than Thanksgiving.
That's a great fall show to...
It's perfect.
Yeah, that's a great fall show.
That is actually like a fall vibe that makes me really like fall.
Yeah.
Because it's like a fall of the mind.
Yeah. Mm. And it's like, I think, you know, in California, there's so much pressure to just be outside having fun all the time.
I just hate the fires and the Santa Anas, and I associate those with fall.
Well, that's like our winter also. Yeah. We do have to hide inside.
It's kind of just our always, though.
It is.
Yeah. It's just always fire season. So you have to... You know,
it happens every year, but every year I'm like, wow, really? Like, it was starting to get cold. I thought it might really just be fall. So I do think that Kate and I's love of fall is a little bit of like a psychotic break from reality.
Yeah, I think it's truly unhinged and like unwell.
Can we wrap up with talking about the Emoji House?
Okay, yeah.
Oh, yes, please.
The Emoji House.
So there's this house in my hometown of Manhattan Beach, California, where I grew up. And it's like owned by this woman who... I guess was renting it out as, I'm guessing, an Airbnb or something. And she painted it pink and added like emojis to the front of it because her neighbors like reported the illegal Airbnb, because in Manhattan Beach it's like illegal. And they reported her to the city, and she was like fined like $4,000 or something. And so as a like act of retribution, she allegedly painted emojis based on them on the front of the house, and like one has big eyelashes because
this is my favorite part
because her neighbor has like eyelash extensions.
Oh my God.
And she, and like everyone was like, that's clearly about the neighbor with the eyelash extensions.
And like, even the neighbor with the eyelash extensions like gave interviews and did like a Streisand effect thing where she was like, exactly. I knew it was targeted to me because I got eyelash extensions and they looked too big and I felt self-conscious, and everyone knew how self-conscious
I
was.
When your eyelashes are too long and beautiful.
Right? I hate it.
Kate did a like self-reported news segment on it. It was
amazing.
Oh my God, thank you for watching.
No.
Yeah, I was like, I don't have a real job. Like, I'm compelled to go to Manhattan Beach. Like, the day after the LA Times covered it, I was like, okay, like, Manhattan Beach is in the news. Like, this is my moment. And I, like, took my Zoom recorder.
Oh my God.
And filmed myself on my iPhone, like, walking up the hill, and I was like, I'm going to, like, see what's going on the ground. And, like, it was, like, popping. Like, there were so many people driving by to take selfies in front of the house.
Oh, my God.
And then I saw the neighbors that were, like, in the City Hall video, and they were, like, so mad that I was there.
Really?
Yeah. I was, like, because I was, like, trying to get people to interview to be on Jack AM to, like, talk about it. Yeah. And no one would go on mic to talk to me. But I did get, like, one off the record interview, and she was like, don't record this. Like, she was like, but she told me that the eyelash thing was true, and that the lady who owns the house is like allegedly like kind of a slumlord type of situation.
Oh,
and that the neighbors,
the Emoji House,
yeah, and that she was like, it had this huge like roach infestation. She like wouldn't deal with it or something.
At like another property, or is it this?
It might have been at another property. I don't know.
On the ground reporting.
I know. So like, I do have some insider info.
Wow.
And it was like kind of a thrill. It was also like very Manhattan Beach, like. Very isolated and like privileged, and like they also were like, there were too many parties at that house. Like, they were throwing like bottle caps on the ground. I was like, bottle caps? Like,
how dare you?
Drinking too much sugary soda.
It's like, this is a town where it's like very, very illegal to like be homeless at all. Yeah. So it's like not the greatest like vibe.
That's why I enjoyed your reporting.
Yes.
Well, Kate, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kate.
Explaining Visco Girls to us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Everybody, check out Kate Raft every day on Jack AM. On Twitch.
It's
and also,
the best.
It's the best.
Wow,
it's,
thank you so much. Fun.
It's it the is. Best, most ahead of the curve podcast in the world.
Wow.
and also praise. Check out this podcast is Self-Care also with Kate and Drew Spears. You can check me out on the self-grandparenting episode.
Yeah.
Did that just come out?
It came out a while ago, but self-grandparenting.
It's self-grandparenting.
There was like a Canadian article about it today. Yeah.
With like knitting needles. And
yes.
It's going international.
Somebody interviewed me about it for Mashable in Australia, and then that got picked up by a Canadian blog.
Wow.
So I think self-grandparenting will be the thing that really gets us the money to buy the emoji house.
So the emoji house the price is dropping on it because no one wants to buy it. So, you know.
How much is it?
It was $8 million. I think now it's like 7.5.
Oh, we'll get there, guys. Yeah. We'll get there.
I think we do. I allegedly heard that it needs a gut renovation.
Oh, right. And it's haunted too.
Yeah. It's got
how
a lot
many
of
people
problems.
Were murdered there? We have to get this out there.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
For coming by.
See you soon.
Yeah, see you soon.
It's fall.
It's fall.
Thank you for listening to Night Call. We'll be back next week. If you have any thoughts or questions, ghost stories, or if you've seen the Joker and want to weigh in, please give us a call at 1-240-46-NIGHT. You can also email us at nightcallpodcast@gmail.com. We are also on social media. Twitter is Night Call Pod, Instagram and Facebook, Night Call Podcast. And of course, we would love you to support our Patreon. We're patreon.com/nightcall. For as little as $1 a month, you can get access to our newsletter, mix CDs. There are higher tiers with even better rewards.
We got pins coming too. So we if got you want to get on the pin train.
Fall sign pins. Up
now. Fall pins. And if you have any questions about fall, Visco Girls, or the Joker, give us a call.
Do it. We'll see you next week. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye. Night Call is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.